What we're up to now in the Gemara, we learned through the Gemara and the Maskanos, the Halacha, that come out of the Gemara, which we spoke about last time. But now, we're going to go back to some of the Klalim, some of the principles that come up in the Gemara, and try to understand them. So we have, the Gemara suggested, we said, why don't you, when we're talking about a chassan, we said, why doesn't the chassan eat in the sukkah and make the Shev Brachos in the sukkah? What's the big deal? Why do we say that a chassan can't be in the sukkah? What is the Gemara answer to that? Ain simcha el b'chuppah. The Gemara says, a line, there's no simcha unless it's in the chuppah. That's what the Gemara says. And the question on the table, before we really get to anything, is what is a chuppah? Just ain simcha el b'chuppah. Okay, so you can't be in the sukkah. But what is a chuppah? The Gemara doesn't say exactly what a chuppah is. So, what possible interpretations are there?
Marriage canopy.
So one possible interpretation is the marriage canopy. That's generally what we call the chuppah. You go to the wedding and they call it a chuppah. And that, so that's a little picture of the canopy, very nice. So that makes a lot of sense. And okay, that's one possibility. And what's another possibility? What does Tosa say? What's the definition of chuppah? Ikushu is chasam nakala. The Tosa says the chuppah is the main place where the chasan and kala are staying or hanging out. And I think, as we mentioned, that in the old days they would make some kind of villa for celebrate the wedding and celebrate the Shev Brachos, so that's where the chasan and kala would live. And it was a whole matzah of the chuppah. So in our lives, it would be very hard to imagine something called the chuppah other than the canopy. Like, what is like this special place called chuppah? But in the times of Gemara, they did have this unique place where they would celebrate the wedding and the show. Okay, so interestingly, that we'll get back. Maybe we'll get back to point something out about that. So the next question then is ein simcha b'makom chuppah. What ein simcha b'chuppah is that? What is that halacha stating? And whenever you have, or not whenever, but often when you have this, some kind of vague statement, you have to raise the question whether that is something that is just about the context here. Is it a general halacha? Is this like a general principle that always applies, and that's what's taking effect in the Gemara? Or is this has nothing to do with general halacha? This is very specifically addressing our question on the table. And the Gemara asks the question, why don't you just eat in the chuppah, in the sukkah, and make shev brachos? The Gemara says, no, you need the chuppah. So the Gemara just addressing our specific case of the sukkah issue, or is it giving us a general rule? So what does Tosos learn from our Gemara? What does Tosos say based on our Gemara? General rule. Tosos says, sounds like our Gemara is telling us a general rule. What's the general rule? General rule is, when you make Shev Brachos, it has to be in the chuppah. There's no Shev Brachos in the Chinese restaurant. There's only Shev Brachos in the chuppah. So Tosos.
Why can't the Chinese restaurant be where the chassan kala is staying?
Okay, if they're staying in the Chinese restaurant in the chuppah.
You mean living?
Yeah, ikar yeshiva chassan kala means like where they're living, at least for the week. So you're right. If they're living in the Chinese restaurant,
but
what
is like sometimes the ikar yeshiva is in the street?
No, the opposite. Tosos said sometimes the chuppah is in the street, the canopy is in the street. That's why Tosos said it can't be the marriage canopy. Right. Interestingly, I think part of the issue is that if you hold the more limited version, or the more, I guess, literal pshat in ein simcha el b'chuppah, and that's a general rule that the Shev Brachos has to be the chuppah, it can't be that it's only the canopy. Because it can't be that you have to go to the canopy every time you make Shev Brachos. Like, that's weird, it doesn't make any sense. So that's part of what pushes Tosos to give the other pshat, that is if Yeshiva's chasam akal. Okay, that's a side point, but yeah. And therefore what?
No, I'm saying where that would be the issue with me, why you can't do it in
good. So fine, we're good. That's another, so that's more or less what the Ran wants to say. Right? You're saying another pshat in the Gemara. You're saying the Gemara is not a dim kali. No. Nowadays, you want to go to the Chinese restaurant, you can make Shev Brachos. The Gemara never meant to say you have to go back to the Ikar Yeshivas Chasam Nakala to make the Shev Brachos. You can go to the Chinese restaurant. All the Gemara means, like Sammy's saying, we had a question on the table. The Gemara's question was, why don't you make Shev Brachos in the Sukkah? The Gemara says, come on, that's not so simcha dick. Ain simcha, ain as the Ran says, what's the Ran, how does he interpret the Gemara? Ain ikr simcha. The ikr simcha of chasen kala is that in the chuppah, again, going back to the old days, or I guess when they had the whole wedding villa thing, or even if you had like the wedding hall, okay, that's like, that's a really a geschmack place. But to go into the sukkah, that's not, you know, it's not so exciting for the chasen kala. So therefore, we don't make them go into the sukkah. Could they make shev brachos? If you went into the sukkah, could you make shev brachos? Yeah, you make shev brachos. It's not that you can't make shev brachos in the sukkah. But what's the context of our Gemara? The context of our Gemara is asking the question, do we make them go to the sukkah? And the halacha is they're putter. They don't have to go to the sukkah because we're not going to make them go to the sukkah.
If they do go, so
then that might depend on the Peturim that we talked about. I don't know if you're here for that too.
If we're not making them go,
so we pointed out that it would depend on the situation. Sometimes when you're putter, you can't make a bracha. For example, a woman is putter from sitting in the sukkah, except for maybe the first night, but a woman is putter from sitting in the sukkah. So she has to. Actually, even the first night, maybe she's putter, I don't remember. I have to get to that halacha. A woman is putter, certainly another night, she's sitting in the sukkah, she can make a bracha, according to Ashkenazi. So, not every time you're putter, you can't make a bracha. However, the halacha is raining in the sukkah, and you're mitzdayer, you're not allowed to make a bracha, we spoke, you're not even supposed to go into the sukkah. It's called a fool. It's called a hedyot if you go in the sukkah in the rain. Yes.
Why is the Gemara explosion in simcha It sounds like you have to be in the
chuppah. Okay, you're right. That's as I think maybe I pointed out before. Whenever you have a, you know, very often in a Gemara or a Machlokes Rishonim will deal with two competing, sometimes competing considerations. Number one, you have a textual consideration, and then you have a conceptual consideration. So conceptually, the Ran thinks his pshat makes a lot of sense. The Ran has proof for his pshat. And so he has proof of another Gemara. So he thinks what he's saying makes a lot of sense. You're right, textually it's a little difficult. Okay, so he has to bend over backwards and explain it textually. Tosfos, maybe textually fits very nicely in our Gemara, but he's going to have a problem with that Gemara and Ksubis the Ram brings a Raya from. Right, what's the Ram's proof from the Gemara and Ksubis? Anybody catch that? So Gemara and Ksubis has raised a question. One of the things I think maybe we spoke about this, the addition you put into the Birchas HaZimun, Shasimcha B'mono. When you're at a wedding and Shev Brachos, you add in Rav Sain Rechva, you say, Yishan Shem Rishus Nevarech Rechina Shasimcha B'mono V'shachal Nishos. So you add in those words, Shasimcha B'mono, into the Zimun of a wedding or Shev Brachos. So says the Gemara and Subis question, how long after the wedding do we say it? How before? And the Gemara says you start saying it when? What does the Gemara and Subis say? When do you start saying Shasimcha B'mono? What? Yeah, you start putting the barley in the vat. I don't know exactly what they're talking about. It seems to be making the beer for the wedding celebration. Now they might have some good beers. And so at that point, it's like, that's really, the preparations are in full force. You can start saying Shasimcha B'mono. So says the Ran, how can you link these things to chuppah? You could start saying Shasimcha B'mono before the wedding. Obviously, it has nothing to do with chuppah. You can't tell me we need ikar yeshivas chasam and kala. That doesn't make any sense because we say it even before the wedding. So, and the Ran, like Tosfos, says Shasimcha B'mono and Shev Brachos are linked. So conceptually, the Ran's thought makes more sense because it fits with the Gemara and Ksubis. The text of our Gemara, okay, we'll have to figure out how to, you know, he finagles his way into it because he has his proof from Ksubis is really pushing him in a direction. They could make shev brachos in a Chinese restaurant. According to Ran, they're pater from sukkah, and they can make it in a Chinese restaurant. Then have the brach and everything in a Chinese restaurant. Good.
Yeah, if they're doing the one they say,
We spoke about this. We spoke about this the other day that Rav Yashiv pointed out that nowadays the whole thing doesn't really apply so much because, at least the sukkah part of it, because the assumption of the Gemara was that like you had this geschmack villa where you could celebrate the wedding, No, we're not going to make you go to the sukkah, Nebuch, the sukkah to celebrate Shabbos. That's the assumption of the Gemara. Says Rabbi Yashu, the Chinese restaurant and the sukkah are the same thing. Like, there's no real difference, so therefore, this whole thing doesn't apply, and you would eat in the Chinese restaurant, so just go eat in the sukkah. It's not like that much of a difference, and so Chassan should sit in the sukkah nowadays. It's not as that when you have Shabbos. The Risha guys, told the Risha guys, you got to ask Rabbi Fol Willig what they are. Maybe next time you see, if you see Rabbi Willig on Shabbos, did you guys ever see Rabbi Willig come walking on Shabbos?
Yeah.
So go on Shabbos, tell him you're learning the sugya, and ask him what they did about Shav Brachos Lamaisa when his son got married before Sukkot. Okay? Someone go talk to him about it. It could be a good thing. Talk to him learning the sugya a little bit. What? You got to prepare. You spend Friday night preparing. It'll be a good thing to force us into the base manager Friday night.
It'll just destroy. If you go in and like you have all the pros and like he's gonna bring in
all right, it's humbling when you talk to a big Tom Chacham also and you realize, wow, I really have a lot to learn. So but anyway, I'm curious here. I usually miss him. This summer my schedule with my kids, whatever. Oh no, there's Chaburus for older Shtilis, so that's why I end up here on Boys Campus at 11 o'clock, so I've been missing Rabbi Willig, but I'm interested to hear what he has to say. So that's this over there. There, one interesting point, I didn't give you this Bar Mokom, one could distinguish Tosos and the Ran, both linked, Shasimcha Bimono and Shavrachos. The Ritva, interestingly, he says that, he quotes this Gemara Ksubis as well, and says, the Gemara's not talking about Shasimcha Bimono. He says, I agree with Tosos that Shavrachos has to be in the Chuppah, has to be in the Iker Yeshivas Chasa Mekala, but Shasimcha Bimono doesn't have to be. So he makes a split between them, even though Tosus and the Ran link them together. Yes. Yeah, we're going. That's the next section. We're getting there. Good question. So before we go on, what does the Rush say? Who saw the Rush? What? You go anywhere, Nathan? What do you mean you go anywhere? Like the Ran? If they move what? So what's the chat? So is he saying like Tosos, the Ran, or a third Shita?
The Ran.
The Ran. Not what you say? A little bit different. So the Natan is referring to the what I think is the Pashtan in the Rush, and is how the Beis Yosef, and ultimately what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Rush, that basically the Rush agrees with Tosos that it's the Iker Yeshivas Chasam Kala is the Chuppah, and it has to be in the Chuppah. But the chiddush of the Rush is that you can change that place in the middle. You can get up and move and be kovei a new makom. So we had the wedding in X wedding hall, and now we're moving to Shavuot because we're going to my in-laws in Chicago or whatever it might be. That was our example last time. You go to Chicago, and now I'm there for the last 3 days of Shavuot. Okay, that's my new makom. She was chasen the kala. So that seems to be the pashup shot in the Rush. That the what? The Ran would say Ran would agree to that, but you don't even need it. The Rush wouldn't. Basically, the difference is the Chinese restaurant. For the Rush, the Chinese restaurant is not going to do anything because you didn't make that your Iker issue. You're just going there now to eat. But the for the Ran that would be fine because there is no such thing as Iker issue in college. He doesn't hold to that. He doesn't hold you have to be in that place. He holds that. All the Gemara means is that we don't make you go to the sukkah because ain't simchal b'malkum b'chuppah, but not that as a general rule. The Taz, if you take a look at the Taz, it's very long, and Ebenezer over there on the Shulchan Aruch, you'll see how the Taz is a different interpretation of the Rush, and he basically puts the Rush with the Ran. He has some nice diukim we're not going to go through right now, but he has a very careful reading of the Rush. You see how the Taz really was medayik on every single word in the Rush. He read very, very carefully, picked up on how he phrased certain things. And he said it sounds like from that presentation that he's really not saying what Beis Yosef thinks, but he's saying more along the lines of the Ran. So that's the opinion of the Rush. Lemaisa and Shulchan Aruch, as we just mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch passes like the Rush. And I heard from, I didn't look up Rav Avadia Sfarim, but I heard when Rav Amar was Rav Amar was the chief rabbi of Israel, currently the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. When he came to YU last year, we learned Suvah, so Rav Amar quoted from Avadi Yosef that the Svarim should only make Shavuot Brachos when they are in the apartment or the house of the Chassan and Kala. Because that's the issue with Chassan and Kala. So okay, they can be, if they're living by their parents, the first 3 days, they can say Shavuot Brachos there, and then moving to the in-laws, they can say Shavuot Brachos there. But it's where they're living. That's the only place for Shavuot Brachos. If you go out to a Chinese restaurant, it says Rav Avadia, no Shavuot Brachos. What?
The Ran said
the Yishla Hachmir, right?
They
said Sfarim. Sfarim, he said?
Sfaratim.
Sfaratim is the French. No, he says the Tosos is the French. The Yishla Rabatina, Sfaratim are the Palaitosos. No, the Ran is Sfarim. They're French. So that's Tosos. However, I sent you to the Beis Shmuel on the commentary in the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, and he quotes from the Maharal, right? By the way, the Maharal was, we know the Maharal is like big Baal Machshava, right? We know it's hard for us, usually we don't understand, I don't understand Maharal so much, but like, usually it's like deep Machshava stuff, but Maharal in his time was a Posek. He was like the Posek Ador of his time, and you see on the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, they quote often from the Maharal. When he was there, it could be. What? So the Maharal, what's that? So the Beis Shmuel and the Taz, they possibly like the Maharal. And the Maharal says, especially nowadays when we don't have the whole matzah, like we described, they don't have the whole villa thing. So he says, it doesn't really make sense to limit it to the Makom Chuppah. And we can interpret the Gemara like the Ran. And therefore, the Nosekhel, the Ashkenazi Nosekhel, and Shulchan Aruch say that we paskin like the Maharal, that you can make the, basically like the Ran, you can make the Shavuot, so wherever you go to be Mesameach, so then you can make the Shavuot. So you go to the Chinese restaurant, you're going to celebrate the wedding, you're allowed to make Shavuot. That's the minhag of, bless you, that's the minhag of Ashkenazim. Rav Amar said that he personally thought that even for the Svardim, the halacha should change, because even, I was trying to look at my notes somewhere, I couldn't find it before, but if I recall correctly, I think what you want to say is that since it's so normal to travel all the time, it's not like even that your apartment, it's not like your apartment becomes the open house for celebrating for the week. You just go to sleep there. Like, the way people celebrate weddings nowadays is to go out, not to come into the house of a chassan kala. So he thought that even the Shulchan Aruch would agree that nowadays it should be different. Okay, I'm not Sfardi. Anybody here Sfardi? You're Sfardi, tell him. No, no Sfardi himself. You're Sfardi, you know, they'll have to figure out what had paskin, but for the Ashkenazim, certainly the minhag continues to make Shavuot Brachos even in a Chinese restaurant. Okay, so that was principle number one of the Gemara. Then we had a different principle when the Gemara had the question, as Eitan was just raising, the Gemara had a question of what about eating in the Sukkah and then going to the Chuppah and making Shavuot Brachos, to which the Gemara responded, Ein Simcha Lo B'Makom Suda. You can't do that because you need to be in the Makom Suda in order to make Shavuot Brachos. And once again, we can raise the same question we raised before. Is it a din klali or a din prati? Is this a general halacha that always applies? Ein simcha el b'makom suda. You can only make the Shavuot Brachos in the context of a meal. Or you could say, what? This is a din prati. You could say, in this context over here, it's not going to work because you're going to eat a suda. Right? Okay. So, the truth is that... Oh, fine. That's the question to raise. Now, I sent you to the Ritva. I really have trouble understanding the Ritva. You want to pass the Ritva, Malikun? So if you got to see the Marmakomos, so the Ritva Malikun makes a comment, which in and of itself I understand. I just don't understand in the context of our sugya. But the Ritva says, "Aval b'chupa isa afilu shelo b'shas suda." So he says, at the chuppah, you can make a bracha even though it's not the makom suda. In other words, ein simcha ella b'makom suda is only when you're outside of the chuppah. When you're in the chuppah, when you have the main place of the celebration, you don't need a suda to make it, to, you know, make gishmak. You know, okay, we're here having a shmooze last night, so we need shalom to make it gishmak. But if you were at the, you know, you're getting married at your wedding hall, you don't need food, says the Ritva. There you can make a Shavuot Brachos even without the food. Yes, Eitan.
Does that make sense? Is that what we do? Like, we have Shavuot Brachos in the Chuppah,
So there are two halachas. We say the same shavrachas, but they're the halachas, the birchas chasanim we say under the chuppah is different than what we do during the rest of the week. So those are birchas nisuin. Those are brachas we say over the marriage, and those are have nothing to do. So that's one takana, and then there's also a takana that the week of shavrachas, when you have panam chadashos, you also say the shavrachas again. The lundus might be, we're recreating a same we was talking about a little before. The lundus might be, some explain, that we're recreating the chuppah ceremony when we have the new panim chadash that come. Those brachas are chazal and mesakin. When you do nisuin, because that's what we're doing there, we're doing nisuin. So when you do nisuin, you make these brachas.
No, but I'm saying it would work if it's not because it's simple, because it was then that
okay, good. I hear you saying, yeah, it's not necessarily related to the simcha, correct. The simcha is not the machayev there. The nisuin, the act of nisuin, is what the machayev of the brachas is. Yes?
If that's true, then why is the Gemara rejecting of when you eat the simcha and then have shav brachas in the chuppah? Why is that a good
reference? Oh, so that's what I understand. Exactly that question. Now, so I thought you asked me a different question. Taking out of context for a second, just before we address that question, you just remove the general context. The Ritva, the way he's interpreting, I think, Ein Simcha B'Makom Seuda means when you're not in the Chuppah, then Ein Simcha B'Makom Seuda. I mean, that phrase can work. Ein Simcha B'Makom Seuda means when you're not in the Chuppah, make sure, this doesn't fall down again. When you're not in the, it's feeling a little wobbly. Well, you're holding up. Okay. So when you're not in the chuppah, then ain simcha b'makom suda. But when you're in the chuppah, it's fine. You can have simcha. You can have the bracha. The problem is exactly what you're saying. The context of the Gemara, and if anyone has a pshat here, I'm very happy to hear, because I really don't understand if this is explaining anything. The context of the Gemara was saying, why don't you make the shav brachos in the chuppah without the food? So how does ain simcha b'makom suda answer the question? It's fine. No, but it's okay. We're in the chuppah. You can say it even without the food. Ain ikr simcha. So maybe I have to say that's what he means. Ain ikr simcha b'makom suda.
Isn't
the Ritva is assuming not that way. The Ritva is assuming it doesn't have to be an addition to benching. If the Ritva is assuming that when you're not in the chuppah, you need food to make it gishma. So okay, so then we do it with shav brachos. Yes.
So since you're recreating the original form of simcha, so maybe you might not need food for that. You might not need food for the original, because that's already like that simcha itself. But when you want to recreate it and bring back that simcha, so then maybe you would say it's
I mean, you're saying if you're in the chuppah, so you have that without the food. You don't need the food to recreate. Right. No, I hear that. But just in the context of the Gemara, I don't understand it, because the Gemara was suggesting making the brachos in the chuppah without food. So how does this address the question then?
Because I'm saying because that is the simcha.
So good, we should do that. We should eat in the sukkah, go eat in the sukkah, and then go back out to the chuppah and make the shav brachos.
So
you should do that. So unless you have to say, which Ritva doesn't say, like you have to say that it means in ikr simcha b'makom suda, even though you can in a chuppah, it's still not the ikr simcha without the meal, and maybe that's a trap. Okay. And I sent you to a Ritva and Ksubis, if you have to see where the Ritva comes to Masechet Sofrim, where the old minhag was to actually make shav brachos without a food. They'd wake up in the morning, everyone's gathered together, here we go, let's make shav brachos. Yes, Nana.
Ordinarily, for normal people, it's going to be a difficult thing. There's still the possibility of simcha without food exists. As you see from Rebbe Zeir, that you can have that, it's just not the norm.
Could be. It doesn't sound like that's what he's saying here. But b'chupa isa filu shalav shasuda. There is simcha filu shalav shasuda. They were in Hasam, as I say, there in Ksubis, and in Ksubis he goes on to say how you don't need chupa. So you're right. Clearly, the assumption is you're not limited to certain things like we saw. There was you're not limited to the suda, but It doesn't sound like he's saying like a midas chassidus, like a personal kind of thing. It sounds like he's saying that is the, that would be the halacha.
I mean, he did say like not to understand that, and like when I said before, it's if we say an ikras of l'machum suda, and we could have that same idea that there is simcha and the chuppah. Obviously, if we create the chuppah like there's a simcha, but it's not going to be like the environment we want for Shabbat breakfast.
Okay.
And but Rabbi Zera, maybe he could kind of simcha even without
right. But Rabbi Zera, that's what Samus was saying, that normal people can't make the bracha because they don't have the simcha. Only Rabbi Zera did. Rito, I think, is saying even normal people can make the bracha, but okay, here we are.
I think it's
That's what it sounds like from also from brachos, from ksuvos. Okay, so this is what we have. This machlokes. Now all the other rishonim I sent to the Rambam. But if you look through the Shulchan Aruch a little bit, that Simon Samach Beis and all the other rishonim in ksuvos, no, everyone else seems to just assume take for a davar pashut that the shev brachos are made as part of benching, which like we do. Now even within that, one can raise the following question: why is it that it's connected to benching? So it could just be like a practical thing, like we said before. What's the point of eating? The point of eating is create the atmosphere, to get the simcha going, make a geshmak. Okay, where are we going to do it? We'll do it with the end of benching. We'll extend to the end of benching. We'll put the shel brachos. Now there's an intrinsic link. But who saw the Rambam? You saw the Rambam. What stands out about the Rambam? Where would you have expected the halachas of shel brachos to be? Or what the Rambam calls Hilchos Ishus. I would expect that Shev Brachos would be in the halachos of marriage, right? That's where that would be the natural place where I'd expect it. But the Rambam, who is one could be medayik from how he organizes things, the master organizer, where does the Rambam put the halachos of Shev Brachos during the week of Shev Brachos? In Hilchos Brachos, Brachos HaMazon. The Rambam, it's not like we were saying before, it's a halacha of Shev Brachos. You make bracha, and then happens to be we put it with food. For the Rambam, it's the way they're masakin is actually halacha and benching. That benching, as the Rambam there is quoting, there are certain things you add in different situations. So when you're at a base avel, the Rambam there is talking about, you add certain things to benching. And what other examples there? The context of the Rambam is all what? It goes to various halachos of who's where, but the bottom line is, let me just see quickly. Chasanim, Almon. Okay, fine. That's what we're talking about. But I mean, the truth is, if you go back earlier in the parak, he's talking about on Chanukah and Purim what do you add in, and on Shabbos and Yontif what do you add in. He says, and if you're at a Shev Brachos, that's what you add in. So it's a halach and benching, no different than saying Ritzeh and saying Al Diyavah. There's certain things that we add, and based on the context, the time or the context, we add into benching. So this is what the Brisker Rav points out for the Rambam. This is Mamashai halach and benching, and it's not even a bracha of Shev. It's not even a bracha of Simcha per se. I mean, maybe that would require me to a certain atmosphere, but it's more they were misaking that the benching in a Beis Chasanim should be different. So that is the extreme opposite of mitzvah, or the extreme interpretation of our Gemara. Ein simcha ela b'makom suda. You can't. Of course, you can't have simcha without a suda, because the way it is, it's supposed to be part of. It's part of the benching. Everyone else would learn. Not the ritzvah. Everyone else that argues in the ritzvah would say, well, ein simcha ela b'makom suda, because suda creates a context for simcha. But the Rambam has an even further extreme interpretation of that gemara. Yes, Eita. We make one Bari Priya Gafen, but the Shulchan Aruch, actually the sif right before, Chad, you guys look, before I went ahead and you look at, talks about how we use two cups, because we don't want to do both mitzvahs on one cup of wine. So one cup of wine is for the benching, and one cup of wine is for the shevruch. That's why if you've been to shevruch, you'll see the person who leaves benching, he holds a cup. And then they take the other cup, and they pass it around, the Shabrachos, and then they can bring it back, and they mix it all together, the whole thing. But that's so in order not, we want to drink from both Kosos, Shabrachos, but we don't want to make the same, do same mitzvah on one Kosos.
So then that implies that it's two separate Brachos.
So you're right, maybe the Rambam in Echanami, so you're saying good. The Rambam probably wouldn't say to do that. Good. And the Rambam doesn't mention that. I don't know who the first to mention it, but the Rambam does not mention that. You're right, very good. Because the Borei Pri HaGafen is a Birchas HaNenin. Well, why can't we say one Borei Pri HaGafen?
Because the one Borei Pri HaGafen would imply that it's all one thing. If it was two separate things, then we'd make a Borei Pri HaGafen on benching and then do our Shabbat Brachos and make a Borei Pri HaGafen on Shabbat Brachos. We're too close.
Could be a lumdish shaila about the nature of Borei Pri HaGafen and saying mitzvahs al hakos. I hear that. The question is, what is the purpose of the Borei Pri HaGafen in general? When you bench on the al hakos, why does he Borei Pri HaGafen? You don't know. So one could say that. Okay, there's something chashuv to hold, to have a cup of wine, holding a cup of wine when you're benching, it's a chashuv thing. And then the Gemara says in Irvin that you can't not drink, you're holding the cup, you can't leave it. It's a ganai for the Kosher. Rashi explains it to not drink the cup. And so, okay, you have to make a shakel, Borei Pri HaGafen, because you're drinking the wine. There's nothing fundamental to the mitzvah, say Borei Pri HaGafen. So if you take that approach, so then, okay, well, I said it once, I don't have to say it again for my other cup. But that's a good question, because we don't always say it that way. Ask about that question. I like that question. But you are saying good that the fact that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Shita that you should have two separate cups indicates not like the Rambam. But still, they don't say, you don't see anywhere in Shulchan Aruch like the Ritva, that you can say it out of the context of the meal, so it's the middle shot, which is that in Simcha L'Makom Suda, because that's what the proper context, but it's not necessarily linked to the Birchas Hamazon. Okay, any questions? More questions? Yes? I think the assumption is that the wet, meaning if you held like the, for us, we hold any meal that's made. Filchas and Kali make shavuot. So, and like we said, that's in four. So, according to Tosfos, that ain simcha b'makom suda, you need the chuppah. So, okay, it would depend if she was chasam and kala. So, maybe in a chanami, maybe not. So, I don't know. With the svarim, maybe the svarim are mashbit to have it dafka in the same room. I don't know. It's an interesting question. For Ashkenazi, for sure, it'd be fine because at the end of the day, that's a meal for the chasam and kala. All right, shkoyach.